Hello and welcome to episode 861 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Friday, April 12th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Friday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain love towards her and Jesus Christ. O Mary, I already know that thou art the most noble, the most sublime, the most pure, the most beautiful, the most benign, the most holy, in a word, the most amiable of all creatures. O that all knew thee, my Lady, and loved thee as thou dost merit. But I am consoled when I remember that in heaven and on earth there are so many happy souls who live enamored of thy goodness and beauty. Above all, I rejoice that God himself loves thee alone, more than he loves all men and angels together. My most amiable Queen, I, a miserable sinner, love thee also, but I love thee too little. I desire a greater and more tender love towards thee. And this thou must obtain for me, since to love thee is a great mark of predestination, and a grace which God only grants to those whom he will save. I see also, my mother, that I am indeed under great obligations to thy son. I see that he merits infinite love. Thou, who desirest nothing else but to see him loved, hast to obtain me this grace above all others. Obtain me great love for Jesus Christ. Thou obtainest all that thou willest from God. Ah, then be graciously pleased to obtain me the grace to be so united to the divine will that I may never more be separated from it. I do not ask of thee earthly goods, honors, or riches. I ask thee for that which thy heart desires most for me. I wish to love my God. Is it possible that thou refusest to second this, my desire, which is so pleasing to thee? Ah, no, thou already helpest me. Already thou prayest for me. Pray, pray, and cease not to pray until thou seest me safe in heaven, beyond the possibility of evermore losing my Lord, and certain to love him forever, together with thee, my dearest mother. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Today, friends, we return to the Fatima Center's website. This is entitled, Sister Lucia Provided Authentic Testimony in the 1980s, Appendix 2. It is by Mr. Andrew Sisonic. Introduction. Having established Sister Lucia's consistent and firm testimony regarding the consecration of Russia, not of the world, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we now consider testimony she provided in the 1980s. These statements oppose the Vatican's chosen narrative. Therefore, it is unreasonable to think that such statements would have come from an impostor placed by the Vatican. They are, however, completely consistent with all the testimony Sister Lucia provided in the 1940s and 1950s before she was silenced. Given the diversity of witnesses providing the evidence, the only reasonable conclusion is that the source was indeed the true seer of Fatima to whom Our Lady appeared in 1917. The 132nd issue of the Fatima Crusader, published in the spring of 2024, addresses the issue of a, quote, fake Sister Lucia. Given the space limitation of the magazine, much relevant evidence could not be included. Therefore, Appendix 2 and Appendix 1, which we went over yesterday here on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, which would fittingly have been included in Chapter 5, are published here. We encourage the interested reader to pursue Appendix 1 and our booklet, The Fatima Timeline. Hyperlinks are given to each, which provides much information we wish could have been included in Chapter 6 of A Fake Sister Lucia, The Fatima Crusader, Issue 132. Number 1, Archbishop Santa Portalupi, Bishop Alberto Cosme de Omeral, 1982. Pope John Paul II sent Archbishop Santa Portalupi, the Apostolic Nuncio, to Portugal to discuss with Sister Lucia precisely how the consecration plan for May 13, 1982 should be carried out. In this March 21 interview, Sister Lucia explained, as reported by Father Pierre Caillon, then head of the Blue Army in France, that the Pope must choose a date upon which His Holiness commands the bishops of the entire world to make, each in his own cathedral and at the same time as the Pope, a solemn and public ceremony of reparation and consecration of Russia. Frère François describes a forceful correction which Archbishop de Amaral received from Sister Lucia. In the afternoon of Sunday, March 21, Archbishop Portaluppi and the Bishop of Leiria, Bishop de Amaral, as well as Dr. Lacerda, were received in the parlor of the Carmel of Coimbra and were able to converse very liberally with Sister Lucia. Bishop de Amaral opened the conversation in affirming, "But at last, Sister, Pius XII consecrated the world with a special mention of Russia in 1942, and he consecrated Russia in 1952. All is therefore done. All is finished. Let us remain calm." Manifestly, Bishop de Amaral did not wish to bother Pope John Paul II with a request for the consecration of Russia. Sister Lucia kept silence. While with great energy she was making a gesture of denial, she shook her index finger from right to left. Then she explained how the Pope would have to act in order to satisfy the divine requirements. She said, "In order that the bishops of the world be united to the Pope during the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Pope would have to either convoke all the bishops at Rome or in another place, at Tui, for example, or indeed order the bishops of the entire world to organize, each one in his own cathedral, a public and solemn ceremony of reparation and of consecration of Russia to the Holy Hearts of Jesus and Mary." Sister Lucia favored this second solution. The Pope then should determine ahead of time the day and the hour of this consecration. Sister Lucia added that if the communist governments prevented the Catholic bishops from making the solemn and public ceremonies, those prelates could accomplish the consecration in small chapels. And if the command of the Pope does not reach some bishops because of the lack of religious liberty, the good God would understand that, for he wants the moral unanimity of the bishops and not obligatorily arithmetical totality. Unfortunately, acting on the advice of Bishop de Amaral, Archbishop Portaluppi purposely neglected to tell the Pope of Our Lady's requirement that the world's bishops participate in the consecration. Number two, Mrs. Maria Pestana, Maria do Fetal, 1982. In the days that preceded the pilgrimage of the Pope to Fatima from May 7 to May 12, 1982, Sister Lucia made a retreat in the Carmel of Fatima. During those same days, at the beginning of the month of May 1982, Father Caillon began to conduct an inquiry in Portugal in order to know the mind of Sister Lucia on the consecration which the Pope had decided to accomplish on May 13 at Fatima. On May 9 at Porto, Father Caillon met Mrs. Maria Eugenia Pestano de Vasconcelos Costa, then 71 years of age. Her family had formerly, in the 20s, paid Lucia's board in Asilo de Villar. Mrs. Pestana, friend of the seer for a long time in that year, 1982, was one of the rare privileged ones who still had permission to visit Sister Lucia several times a year at the Carmel of Coimbra. Now, on Sunday, May 9, Mrs. Pestana declared to Father Caillon, "Do not wait this time for the consecration of Russia. The world episcopate is not ready." Then on May 12, at Fatima, Father Caillon was met by a niece of Sister Lucia, Maria do Fetal Nevas Rosa. She, too, was formal. "Do not expect tomorrow the consecration of Russia. The world episcopate is not ready." Father Caillon concluded from it, "Therefore, Sister Lucia, even before May 13, had told her friends from Porto and her niece from Fatima not to expect the consecration of Russia on May 13, 1982, for the world episcopate was not ready. Sister Lucia knew in advance what was going to happen." Number three, Archbishop Santa Portaluppi, 1983. Archbishop Portaluppi was again sent to interview Sister Lucia in anticipation of John Paul II's March 25, 1984 consecration. he brought with him to this meeting, which took place on March 19, 1983, the same Dr. Lacerda and Father Messias Colo. This time, he did not invite Bishop Amaral. Sister Lucia read aloud to them the following statement which she had prepared. In the act of offering of May 13, 1982, Russia did not appear clearly as the object of the consecration, and each bishop did not organize in his own diocese a public and solemn ceremony of reparation and consecration of Russia. Pope John Paul II has simply renewed the consecration of the world made by Pope Pius XII on October 31, 1942. Of this consecration of the world, one may hope for certain good effects, but not the conversion of Russia. She concluded with the following: "The consecration of Russia has not been done as Our Lady has requested. I was not able to make this statement before because I did not have the permission of the Holy See." Number 4. Maria Pestana, 1984. On February 18, 1984, the Pope made public his letter which he had addressed to all the bishops of the world on December 8, 1983, with the purpose of announcing to them that on March 25, 1984, he would renew at Rome the act of offering and of consecration pronounced at Fatima, May 13, 1982. That letter concluded thus: "The words of the act of consecration and offering which I am sending you enclosed is the same act which I pronounced at Fatima on May 13, 1982, with some slight modifications. In the Carmel of Coimbra, Thursday, March 22nd, they were celebrating the 77th birthday of Sister Lucia. As each year, she received on that day the visit of Mrs. Maria Eugenia Pestana. Her old friend offered her good wishes, then asked this question: 'Then, Lucia, Sunday is the consecration?' Sister Lucia made a negative sign and declared that consecration cannot have a decisive character. Sister Lucia had already read the letter addressed by John Paul II to all the bishops of the world, as well as the text of the consecration. She had established that Russia did not appear clearly as being the only object of the consecration. She judged, therefore, that this time, once again, the requirements of heaven would not be satisfied." Number 5. Sol de Fatima, 1985. In September 1985, Spain's chapter of the Blue Army published an interview with Sister Lucia in its official journal, Sol de Fatima. Question: John Paul II had invited all the bishops to join in the consecration of Russia, which he was going to make at Fatima on May 13, 1982, and which he was to renew at the end of the Holy Year in Rome on March 25, 1984, before the original statue of Our Lady of Fatima. Has he not therefore done what was requested at Tui? Sister Lucia: there was no participation of all the bishops, and there was no mention of Russia. Question: so the consecration was not done as requested by Our Lady? Sister Lucia: no, many bishops attached no importance to this act. Number 6. Enrique Romero, 1987. As required by Portuguese law, Sister Lucia left her cloister on July 20, 1987 to vote in the national election. Upon her arrival, Argentine journalist Enrique Romero met her and asked her about the consecration of Russia. She confirmed to him that it had not been done, and that unless there was a spiritual turnaround featuring prayer and sacrifice, every nation would fall under a cruel communist dictatorship. Number 7. Cardinal Bernard Law, 1989. In that year, 1988, an order came from the Vatican addressed to the authorities of Fatima, to Sister Lucia, to diverse ecclesiastics, including Father Messias Colo, who revealed it in the presence of several witnesses, and a French priest very much devoted to Our Lady, ordering everyone to cease pestering the Holy Father with the consecration of Russia. Father Cayon writes, "An order came from Rome obliging everyone to say and think, 'The consecration is done. The Pope having done all that he can, heaven has deigned to agree to his gesture.' John Paul II had forbidden Cardinal Gagnon from going to Coimbra to converse with the seer. 'Ah, no,' the Pope had exclaimed, 'it is not worthwhile. The consecration is done. It is finished. We have done everything there is to do.' Nevertheless, in 1989, the messenger of Our Lady could still express vocally to a cardinal her thinking on the act of March 25, 1984. In fact, in May 1989, Cardinal Law, Archbishop of Boston, came to Portugal to preside over the liturgical ceremonies of the international pilgrimage, went to the Carmel of Coimbra, and he was able to converse in Spanish and Portuguese with Sister Lucia for 20 minutes. The seer affirmed to him that the consecration of Russia had not yet been accomplished as Our Lady wanted it. The Holy Father speculates that it has been done, done in the best possible way under the circumstances, done on the narrow road of the collegial consecration that she has demanded and has been wanting. No, that has not been done. And there's a note here, an end note from that. Father Philippe Bourret of the Society of Jesus, who accompanied Cardinal Law to the Carmel of Coimbra, reported the exact words of the seer to one of our correspondents on December 4, 1990, in the course of a telephone conversation whose transcription is almost entirely reproduced in the CRC, number 269, December 1990, pages 1 through 3. And as we've discussed several times, there was a great deal of controversy in regards to the consecration that was performed by Pope Francis and the overwhelming majority of the world's bishops back in March of 2022. This consecration of Russia, but also the Ukraine, some other things were thrown in there. A lot of people were not wild about what was actually said. At the time, I, in agreement with Bishop Schneider and several others, thought perhaps the consecration has been done, or this is at least as close to what Our Lady wanted as has ever been achieved since the formal request came from Our Lady in on June 13, 1929. But the two things to look for, and we have not seen that in the world over the past 2 years, would be the consecration of Russia, not a mass return to Orthodoxy. There are plenty of Orthodox in Russia, but the Orthodox churches, Greek, Russian, and the other Orthodox churches, and they're all in schism. So it wouldn't be a conversion to schism. It would be a conversion to the one true faith, which is Catholicism, and peace in the world. Well, as we discussed the other day, there's an ongoing war between Russia and the Ukraine that is not showing any signs of ending anytime soon. There's also a horrific genocide, or at least an attempted genocide. People are on the verge of starving to death, and thousands of innocent women and children have been killed by the Israeli Defense Forces in the Gaza Strip, and there are conflicts all over the world. So we haven't seen the two things that Our Lady said would take place if the consecration was done properly, the conversion of Russia and peace in the world. So we can only say that this needs to be done. The consecration of Russia specifically to the Blessed Mother's Immaculate Heart by the Pope and every single bishop in the world. But we can also do our part. And that's the five First Saturdays devotions. The five elements of the First Saturday devotion. Number one, make a good confession within 8 days before or after the first Saturday. Number two, receive Holy Communion. Three, pray five decades of the Holy Rosary. Four, keep Our Lady company for 15 additional minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. Five, offer each of the above acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Fatima Center says, help us present Our Lady with a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request of this devotion, which was December 10, 2025. To join the challenge, please visit www.fatima.org/100x100. That's www.fatima.org/100by100. And I would like to conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Additionally, please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. We would have known none of that without RPM. Thank goodness for her hard work, the hard work of her family, and above all else, of course, God's grace. Imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate any of your wants and needs to your family. They had to guess at everything. Well, no more for my niece. And many other families have broken through to open communication via RPM with non-speakers. It has been as massive a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind, but you can't use a tool unless you know about it. So please get that website out there. Please get those episodes of Our Lady's podcast out there, and may God richly bless you for doing so. And remember, communication is a human right. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.